Welcome. You are listening to a recording provided by Voice Republic at httpvoicerepublic.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Community Connections with the one, the only, the original. That's right, it's me, Dr. Anise Mabry. And today, you know, the whole purpose of Community Connections was to connect our community resources with people in the community that actually had a need for these resources. So today I have the awesome opportunity to talk to one of my very dear childhood friends. We went to school together from fourth grade at Ruth Hill Elementary in Noonan, Georgia. And, you know, so we reconnected with each other recently, and I found out that my friend Owen is actually a financial planner. And, you know, and that is, financial planning is something that I think that everyone really, you know, a lot of people need it, but, you know, not so many people understand really what they need. So today, Owen and I are going to sit down and we're just going to talk. We're going to give you some real life information about financial planning, and you know, and Owen's going to share his contact information so that, you know, if you need a financial planner or if you've never had a financial planner, you definitely need to contact Owen. So let me tell you a little bit about my childhood friend Owen. Owen Roberts graduated from the University of West Georgia, and he has a degree in finance, and he has also been a financial advisor for 15 years. Now, Owen has a very specialized niche market of clients that he works with. You know, he is, as the son of a educator and a long line of educators, Owen's passion is really helping teachers and those in the education profession, as well as law enforcement. So, you know, and I think that is so commendable because these two professions, you know, they often receive the least amount of retirement planning and financial advising. So, you know, for Owen to essentially walk away from the high end and the high dollar clients to take, you know, to help the regular people says a lot about his character. And, you know, just I've loved Owen from the time that we were in fourth grade, and Owen has just been an amazing friend, an amazing ally to me. So welcome to Community Connections, Owen.
Thanks, Anise. I appreciate you allowing me to be here today. It's been great.
Well, I really loved reconnecting with you on Facebook, so thank God for social media. Otherwise, I would have lost my childhood friend of 40 years.
Yeah, correct, and thank goodness my wife understands all of that, because otherwise I don't think I would have even been able to log in. So,
exactly, yes. And your wife, she is absolutely phenomenal in terms of just making sure that, you know, you get all of the messages and that everything. It was a pleasure working with her. Absolute pleasure.
Yes, and, you know, it's always busy doing what I do, and especially in the markets that I am in. You know, to be able to have that resource is especially important from just a time management standpoint. So it's been great.
So tell me a little bit, and tell all of our listeners a little bit about Roberts Financial Solutions. Who are you, and what do you do? What kind of services?
Well, I'm a financial advisor. I'm a financial advisor. I've been in the marketplace now for about 15 years. I started out with a local company that basically kind of helped me establish my mindset as far as a niche market. And we primarily worked with educators, and they picked me up because, you know, I've been a financial analyst prior to that for 4 or 5 years for a company in Atlanta. Of course, we downsized after 9/11, and the primary focus with the new company was to help educators retire with a level of dignity and, you know, some money in the bank so they could actually physically retire. A lot of people don't understand that an educator, after 30 years of service, minus taxes, minus everything else that they're going to have to pay out, minus, you know, including the rising cost of inflation, they're going to retire with about $1,800 in their check net. That's below the poverty line, and a lot of these educators have got numerous degrees, like my mother did. You know, to have a situation where a person gets a degree, and then they get a master's, and then they get a specialist, and then they may even go ahead and get their PhD, to top in out at $70,000 under the teacher retirement system of Georgia, you're only going to collect 60% of that at retirement, and that's gross income. And a lot of people, you know, you draw down, you minus the taxes, you minus the health insurance, you minus a lot of these variable costs out of it, they're retiring pretty much poor. And so our mindset was very, very simple. Help them retire, or help them save money, rather, in an account, A, which they can understand, B, where they're going to get a strong, strong return, upwards into the 8% return, and C, they're not going to pay a fee to do this. And one analogy I love to always tell people in general, and I work with Middle America as well. That's my favorite market, and that's the market that the teachers are in. But people that at one point in time in their life have gone to a casino, and the most popular game at a casino is blackjack. So, excuse me. So my analogy is this. If you could go to a casino and you sat down at a blackjack table and you put your $200 or $300 down, and every time you won, the dealer would give you more chips. However, when you lost, the dealer never took away a chip of yours. And my question to people always is, how long would you sit at that table? And the answer is always obvious. Well, I would never leave. Those are the investments that I specialize in. They are niche investments. They're not mainstream financial services investments because mainstream financial services do not use them. But my accounts are basically what they are, and they're all, I think the youngest company I deal with, American-owned and operated, is 128 years old now. So they're not fly-by-night organizations. They're private. They're extremely liquid. None of them were involved in the financial bailout that destroyed so many people's portfolios. You know, they're doing what they said they have done. And as an analyst, when I started this, I sat back myself and said, there's no way this is even possible. How can you guarantee a client that when the stock market falls, they're not going to lose any money, but when the stock market rises, they're going to give them upwards to 8%? One of the companies this year is giving 14.4%. And you're not going to charge a management fee to do this. How is this all working out? But over time, I have physically been able to see clients that have received that interest, that have not taken a loss, that do not have management fees, that do not have expenses. They don't show negatives on their statements. And what that does is it, from a psychological point of view, specifically, when you can save in an account, A, that you understand, and B, every time you open it, there's more money than you put in, a whole lot more, you have, you have a feel good about that account. And what that allows you to do is, guess what? You're going to put more money into it, and then more money, and then more money. And you can get down the road very well by eliminating losses, escaping fees, and hitting an 8% return. Bottom line, you can get down the road.
I'm sorry, Owen. Let's talk about the fees.
No, I'm done.
You've mentioned
sure.
a couple of times no fees. So typically, is there a fee for a financial planner? And if so, what is your fee?
Well, you know, that's a good question. And to be honest with you, there's not a simple answer. A lot of traditional financial advisors will either be paid by what's called a management fee if you're in a traditional mutual fund or stock. Also, a lot of advisors have gone to a straight fee-based pay where you basically pay them $500, you know, a pop to manage your portfolio or sit down with you and draft various things out. That's becoming increasingly popular. My companies, however, what they do is they pay me. And this is kind of a hard thing for a lot of people to wrap their heads around. Our clients are tracking a certain index, like an S&P 500 or a Dow. Now, my companies are sitting back with a think tank of analysts, and they're predicting what the S&P 500 is going to do. And let's just say in the following year, you know, or next year, they're going to say, well, the S&P 500 should pull 16% or 17%. How are we going to pay our clients, and how are we going to be competitive and still give them the promises of no losses and this, that, and the other? Well, we're going to apply a cap to them. So although we are speculating that our money is going to make 16%, we're going to give Mrs. Jones 14%, and that 2% difference between 16 and 14 is A, how I'm paid, and B, it's how the company stays profitable. And in today's financial environment, you want a company to stay profitable, because if they're profitable, you are as well.
Okay. So
does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense to me. Well, you know, I started out when I was at the City of East Point, and I was a dispatcher mm-hmm. there. And
sure.
that was kind of my first introduction into the world of investing. And the person that sat down with me was a wonderful financial planner out of Fayetteville, mm-hmm. and he's since passed away. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, he told me, he's like, you know, it's not about how much you make, because at that point I think I was making like $22,000 a year.
Right.
And, you know, and he showed me how to have my investments. And, you know, and I took that knowledge with me. And you know, and he also taught me about fees and everything, because, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of times people, when they're doing investments, you know, they're just looking at, they're looking at what they're going to get. They're not looking at what they have to pay to get what they want to
sure.
get.
Right.
And a lot of times people don't ask that question about is there a fee?
Right. And you know, financial services in general, the gentleman that you're referring to obviously was an excellent financial planner, because it sounds like he did go above and beyond what he should have done for you as far as helping you understand. And, you know, financial services in general, mainstream, they will disclose that information. However, they disclose it in the form of what's called a prospectus, which is a very long book of financial
data.
Yeah,
it's like 600 pages.
it's ridiculous, and it usually comes sometime right after Christmas in January. And, you know, I don't think I may have sat down and read one just because I was trying to help somebody actually analyze their portfolio and give them a breakdown cost of fees. But that is the way that they can legally disclose that. And that's, you know, that's the way that it is. I like to do, I'm a visual learner. I learned that a long time ago. And a lot of the teachers that I've, of course, teachers, especially from my own, dealings with them, they're visual learners too. So when, you know, it's helpful to sit down with just an old white sheet of paper and draw everything out right in front of them. And finance is not hard. Of course, I do have a financial calculator, and I can use a financial calculator. However, I normally just give teachers just an old Walmart $2 or $3 calculator to just add, subtract, divide, and multiply, and they actually will sit down and do the numbers as I tell them to do that. And what that does is two things. It gives them an actual realization that I'm not just making something up, and that they are physically typing it in, and they are physically writing down their own answers to their own questions. And it really gives them a sense of entitlement. They feel more empowered. I mean, I leave clients all the time that say, and I always ask them, do you understand what we went over? And the answer 100% of the time is, I do now. You know, now I do. I didn't before, but now I understand. And it's because of that way that people learn. And it's just, it's not anything against the way that we learn. It's just the way that we have been taught to learn.
You know, and that, I'm glad that you brought that up about how we are taught to learn. And, you know, when I posted your link a couple of days ago on my Facebook wall, the question that I got was, Anise, I don't make very much money. I've always been taught that, you know, you're not supposed to work with a financial planner or, you know, seek financial advice until you hit $60,000. And so I responded back to the person that sent me the message, and I said, you do realize that by the time you make $60,000, you have lost a good chunk of years, that could have been spent in your financial planning. So, you know, when you're looking at your financial picture, there's not a certain dollar threshold that you need to make before you start doing this planning. You know, there's not, and I know that we're going to talk about planning for ages and stages, but, you know, there's really not a particular time that you're like, oh, okay, you know, now it's not like a mammogram, you know, like at 40, you get a mammogram. Financial
right.
planning is not like that. Financial planning really starts the day that you walk into your employer.
That's correct.
And what I tell people all the time is some of the employer-based retirements, like, for example, I worked with DeVry University for a number of years. DeVry gave us an amazing, you know, amazing retirement plan. And, you know, and for a couple of years, it was absolutely astounding. And then they switched plans with us. Well, you know, if DeVry had been, if I hadn't had any experience outside of that finance, because they switched over to Fidelity. And...
Mm-hmm.
You know, changing from who we had, and, you know, it was kind of, they weren't with somebody really big in the beginning, but when we went to Fidelity, everything changed. I no longer
sure.
had a person that I could talk to anymore. You know, it was kind of call this number and then input your Social Security number, press the pound key, and
sure.
we'll get to you at some point.
Right. And unfortunately,
and
a lot of that stuff. Go ahead.
Yes. No, go ahead.
Well, I think, you know, unfortunately, a lot of it, of course, now is online as well. You know, and going back to what you said, it's kind of interesting because when I started off as a financial analyst in Atlanta, you know, I signed on the dotted line that I was the employer. And then they pretty much said, you need to go over to HR and they're going to give you a packet for 401k. I didn't know what I was doing, and it's pretty much, you know, you check a few boxes, and those are your investment options, and it gets sent off, and money's deducted from your account. Time, what you said earlier, I don't think people understand time until they get a certain age, unfortunately.
Right.
And you know, now that I'm 40, you know, you can kind of start seeing not necessarily the end in near, the end coming near, but you start understanding how precious some things are. You know, like I can look back and I can remember my son being born, and I could literally put him in my hand, and he was like 6 pounds, 8 ounces. Now he's 12 years old, weighs 125 pounds. He's bigger than his mother. And I look back and I'm like, that was just a moment ago. But it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was 12 years. And going back to that $60,000 mark that this person had asked about, how do you get to $60,000 if you don't start with 20? You know, how do you get to $60,000 if you don't start with 10? A lot of my companies, they do have minimums, but $25 is about, I think that's mainstream. And $25 is what you would go out and spend on the movies, just once, pretty much, probably more than that. But
exactly.
You know, you've got to start somewhere, and I always tell people, you've got to start with something that's positive. You want an account that is positive. It's going to grow. You're going to see positive development from it, and that's going to make you feel good about saving. A lot of the clients that I have done a lot of rollovers for have been in accounts where, for some reason, political, war, terrorist activity, the market has slid against them, and they have lost money. And they don't understand when their statement comes in exactly why they've lost money, but the first thing out of their mouth is, I've made a mistake. I should have never done this. That's not true. That's not the case. It is just you... you're a victim of things that you could not control. However, the positive thing is you do have $20,000 in this account. Now we can put you in a comfortable position where this is not ever going to happen to you again. And that's, you know, I hear that all the time, all the time. I've made a mistake. No, you haven't. You've at least taken control, somewhat of a control of your financial future, and that's step one.
Yeah, let's talk about the whole, you know, I made a mistake thing. I never will forget, right after 9/11, you know, it was like this mad rush at
sure.
the university for all of the professors and everybody. I mean, people were snatching money out of their retirement and their 401ks. I thought the world was coming to an end.
Correct,
and,
right.
You know, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know, and so – I never will forget, you know, I'm watching people pull money out because they're like, well, it's losing money, it's losing money. And,
right.
you know, I heard the voice of my financial planner, and I remember him saying to me, you know, he said, Anise, when you are investing, you know, in retirement plans, he's like, it's going to lose money. Sometimes it will make money, but it's not like a savings account. You know, you're
That's
in
correct.
This for the
yeah.
long haul.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and, you know, and I didn't touch mine. I kind of left mine alone. But, you know, I was watching all of my colleagues around me move money here, move money there. And, you know, I remembered that. And, you know, so that's
mm-hmm.
why every time, whenever I hear anybody say, oh, I made a mistake with this, the only mistake that you can make with financial planning is not having a competent financial planner and not doing it in the first place.
Absolutely. And, you know, at the end of the day, money is an emotional thing. You know, people treat it like they would treat their children. And if they do feel bad about something, or if they do get nervous, or if they see a negative, and the financial services industry has actually gotten smart about negatives, and they actually are putting parentheses around them. Well, that's an old accounting deal that they use, and a parentheses on a statement means negative. So they've actually gotten away from the minuses and they're putting them in parentheses. And I've actually sat down with the teachers, or well, teachers, and they said, well, I'm making money, and here's my statement, and you've got parentheses all over the place. And I said, do you know what this parentheses means? No. Well, it means you, this is negative, and that, you know, you almost have to go to Google and type in accounting, and they see the parentheses, and that's a loss. You know, and so, but, you know, it's hard to sell when the market has collapsed, you know, when there is fear controlling you. And, you know, my mindset is don't put yourself in that position to begin with. What if you could just completely eliminate the losses and completely eliminate the parentheses or the minuses and only see positive growth? Is that an acceptable form of saving or retiring or distribution? You know, there are a lot of phases that go through in someone's life. And the answer in my world is always yes. But, you know, for anybody out there that is listening, it is important for them to understand that, you know, like what you said, a retirement account is for retirement. It's not meant to take a loan out to buy a car. It's not meant to take 10% out of because you want to go to Florida. It's designed to, when you quit working, you actually have money you can live on. And I hear people say all the time, oh, I'm never going to retire. I can't afford to. Well, yes, you are, and yes, you will, because you're going to get to a point of age with that employer where you're going to become a liability, and they're going to retire you for you.
Yes. You know, I've seen that happen time and time again.
Yes, it happens all the time with teachers. But
absolutely. So, Owen, you know, you and I have talked a lot, and you know, guys, as you're listening to this podcast, you know, the takeaway that I want everybody to have today is the way that Owen and I are sitting here talking right now, this is exactly the level of service that you get when you come to Roberts Financial Services. And, you know, especially if this is your first investment, you really need Roberts Financial Services or somebody like Owen who's going to sit down and take the time with you. You know, Fidelity is great, but they're big and they don't have the time that Owen does to spend with you, to get to know you, to know that, you know, okay, you're 28 now, in 2 years you plan on buying your first house, or you're 39 now and in 3 years, you know, you've got a child going away to college. Owen, because he's connected into your life, into your financial life, he's aware of all of those things, so he can help you plan accordingly. And, you know, I can't stress it enough. Again, you know, I'm not bashing Fidelity or any of those companies because, you know, my retirement through DeVry is with Fidelity. But I'm just saying from my own experience, you know, when I first started out, having that small mom-and-pop, you know, mom-and-pop financial advisor who wasn't connected with one of those big names was the best decision that I ever made. And everyone knows that my whole purpose on doing Back to Us Radio is to give all of our listeners the same access to the resources and the education that I had so that you too can make informed and educated decisions. So, Owen, in the time that we have left, tell our listeners very quickly how they can find you and connect with you.
Well, you can access me through Facebook. It's Roberts Financial Solutions, which is on Facebook. My cell phone is always on me. The number is free to call in at 678-523-8473. Those are probably, or they seem like the most popular ways, and people can, of course, send me text through the cell phone number as well. And like you said, Anise, I think it's important at the end of the day to just have somebody that, A, you trust, and B, that does not talk over your head, and see somebody that is going to take a personal interest in you and your situation down the road. And that seems like what you had with the advisor from Fayetteville or Peachtree City or wherever he was out of, because it does sound like that he did care about you and you sound like you cared about him, because he broke it down into a format that you could understand and you could get your grip, wrap your head around it, you could get a grip on it, and that's probably prepared you more than anything. And so, you know, regardless of whether people contact me or they want to go to another, you know, advisor, find somebody that's going to build a relationship around you and that's going to be a friend that you can actually call up on Saturday. And they're actually going to pick up the phone, and they're going to walk you through various questions. That level of comfort will get people closer to a retirement goal than anything.
Yes, and, you know, and I can speak from my own experience because, you know, a lot of times, you know, when you get your financial statements, number one, they never come Monday through Friday between the hours of 8 a.m. and 4 p.m.
Right.
You know, you're always looking at these financial statements on a Friday afternoon, like 5:30, 6 o'clock, or you're looking at them on a Saturday morning because your mail is piled up from the week. And, you know, and now that I no longer have my financial planner, that, you know, I have to go through Fidelity, I never will forget one time I mistyped my login information on the Fidelity website. They shut my account down. It was on a Friday afternoon. The person who had to reset my account was not going to be back in the office until Monday. I call on Monday. That person's decided to take another 2 days out. And, oh, by the way, this is the only person that works with DeVry University to do the password reset.
Right. And that happens
yeah.
a lot. And, you know, another thing that you see all the time, and, yes, it is kind of a sales idea, and however, it is also beneficial to the client. You see billboards, you know, have you left your old 401k? Or have you left your old this? Or where is your retirement account? It's important for people to understand that they do need to take their 401ks with them. And they simply would roll them over into an IRA, which stands for Individual Retirement Account. And what that does is, A, it takes the ownership away from the corporation, and, B, it starts to streamline the paperwork and the accounts that you have. The most dangerous thing I do see people having is they're 60 or they're 70 years old, they've got a couple of kids, they've got five or six grandkids, and they've got 15 or 20 retirement accounts spread out across the country. And it's very difficult for the beneficiaries to be able to determine where that money is and how they are supposed to access it. It's a lot easier when that person has drilled it down to two or three accounts that are working for them. It's a lot easier for the safe deposit box to hold that information as well. So that's something that I always recommend people to do as well.
Now, Owen, give everyone your contact information one more time. And, guys, I will also have this in our show description, and Owen will also have a link on the Back to Us Radio fan page. So, Owen, give everyone your contact information one more time.
Sure. Cell phone is 678-523-8473. Call or text. And, of course, we're on Facebook with Roberts Financial Solutions, and you'll also see some commentary on Roberts Financial Solutions page from clients that actually, I didn't ask them to do it, but they have posted how their accounts have worked, how pleased they are with the level of service and various things like that. I think that those two or three ways, Anise, are going to be the easiest ways and the quickest ways for people to contact me and at least get some information allow me to get some information to you. How you determine you want to use that information is up to you. But I do recommend that you do start, whether you're 19 or whether you're 42, start planning for a healthy retirement.
Awesome. Well, guys, we are out of time for Community Connections Friday. Again, thank you all so much for tuning in. And, Owen, thank you for joining me and taking time out of your day to do this so that our listeners
Well, thank you,
can
Anise. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity, and I certainly appreciate you allowing me to get information out there that, unfortunately, a lot of people just don't know about. So thank you very, very much. I really appreciate it.
And, guys, you know, again, Owen will probably be back a couple of more times because, you know, financial planning isn't a – it's not a one-shot, one-stop deal. It's something that – you know, you have to keep kind of going back to and looking at. And so we will absolutely have Owen back again. And with that, this concludes our show. We're going to close out today with Tug of War by Tay Milan out of Atlanta. So thank you all so very much. Have a wonderful weekend, everyone.
Thanks, Anise.
You have been listening to a recording provided by Voice Republic at http://voicerepublic.com.